I'm Jean Marie Laskus. I'm a journalist. I spent my career helping Americans understand the lives of other Americans. Coal miners, gun shop clerks, staffers in the White House mailroom. In my new podcast, Cement City, I tell the story of an entire town. A dying town that you have absolutely no reason to care about. But trust me, you will. Listen to and follow Cement City, an Odyssey original podcast in partnership with Cement City Productions. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I think we sound pretty good.
Got some time to warm up this morning.
Those extra 30 minutes.
Really help. I mute my friends because I'm like, I can deal with them later.
Priorities.
Welcome to another edition of Off Bites, everyone.
We bring you bite-sized snacks of weird news stories that we weren't able to get to in full episodes.
That's right. And today we're focused on some stories about money.
Yep. Inflation is up again. Tax season is upon us. And cash is on our minds.
All things that we want to think about all the time. But before we get into the dollars and cents, we've got to say that we always want to hear from you. If you hear something you like, please reach out.
Or if you have any story ideas that you'd like to hear us dig into, let us know. You can find us on X. I'm at LaurenBerry91.
And on Twitter, I'm at Chris C. Blake. And our host, Mike Rogers, is at KRLD Mike Rogers. You can also email us at somethingoffbeat@odyssey.com.
So our first story is about money in the sense that it is about buying drinks at Target, which is one of my favorite things to do, whether it be, you know, Coke Zero or my favorite tea or sometimes a bottle of wine. I love going to Target. But I guess I'm going to maybe be getting carded now when I purchase things that aren't alcohol. According to this article, they're starting a new thing where you're going to have to show ID for any drinks that are from the adult section, the adult drink section at the store, even if they're non-alcoholic or zero-proof alcohol beverages. So this move is, I guess, a part of an announcement that the store is partnering with a brand called Sachet. I hope I pronounced that right. And they have a collection of non-alcoholic alternative drinks for adults who don't want to drink anymore. They're from In Euphorics. I can't pronounce that one. I can't pronounce a lot of these, actually. Mingle, Free AF, and Edna's, I can pronounce those, makers of non-alcoholic adult beverages. And they're going to be in the adult section of the stores. We actually did a Something Offbeat episode about how, you know, younger generations are drinking less alcohol. They're not drinking beer as much. So this kind of goes along with that. And I guess the reason that they are requiring an ID for these drinks, even though they don't have alcohol, is because they have flavor, I'm quoting, flavor profiles of non-alcohol products that align more closely with full alcohol items and are designed for experiences similar to a traditional full alcohol experience. So Nicholas Bradley, an attorney based in New York City, told Food & Wine that people ringing up the drinks probably would have a hard time distinguishing which of these adult beverages have alcohol and which don't. So it's just easier to require an ID for all of them. Although, if I didn't know about this, if I didn't read this article and I had a non-alcoholic beverage in my car and they asked me for ID, I might be a little annoyed about it. I don't know. How about you, Chris?
I see where they're coming from with it. It's probably easier for the cashiers and also maybe trying to prevent people under 21 from getting alcohol adjacent products.
Yeah, that came to mind too. Like, is it like a gateway type of thing? They're going to get used to how maybe alcohol tastes, even if it's non-alcoholic, and then they might want to step up and actually get alcoholic stuff.
But on the flip side, anyone who's doing that is probably going to find a way to get real alcohol to begin with.
Yeah.
Like we were all in high school, it's not that hard.
It isn't. And I was just thinking, I understand this too, because I used to have to card people when I was like a server. And I understand like they're just trying to make it easy, but I can imagine that these cashiers at Target are going to get people that are upset. They're like, what do you mean I have to show you my ID? I go to my local Target all the time. Like I walk there and I don't always have my ID on me because sometimes I was just like going for a little walk and I'm like, oh, I'll stop by a Target and pick something up. And I don't necessarily like have all my stuff with me. So
how often are you buying non-alcoholic beverages when you go?
Well, I mean, I buy like a bottled tea and stuff. I don't think they're going to be carding for that, though. I haven't seen any of these yet at my local Target. Maybe I haven't been looking close enough. I kind of want to try them, though. They sound interesting.
I'd give them a shot.
Although, if something tastes like... I don't love the taste of alcohol. I don't know if I would, like, need that taste without getting the little tipsy from it.
If you don't like how it tastes, you're obviously not going to get it if you're going after getting a little buzz.
Yeah, I'll check it out. I'll check it out and report back next time I'm at Target.
Good, because I probably won't.
And then our next story is actually pretty heartbreaking. It's about an Alabama lemonade stand. It was run by this 7-year-old girl, and she first started it because she wanted to save up for a new toy or video game, but she's ended up having to raise money for a tombstone for her mother. Her mother was just 29 years old when she died unexpectedly last month, and the cause of her death is still unknown, according to this report. So the little girl, her name is Emma. She's selling lemonade for $1 a cup, and she's actually already raised $10,000. That's pretty impressive. The fact that her plight got publicized on social media helped her raise some of this money. And there's been pretty generous donations from, people who live near her town of Scottsboro, Alabama. And in addition to her lemonade stand, you know, if you're not in Alabama and you're interested in this story, maybe donating to her cause, there is a GoFundMe page set up, and you can find it linked in our article from Odyssey about this, which is called 7-year-old sells lemonade to pay for mom's tombstone. So yeah, it's just kind of a heartbreaking story. And I have a friend who just lost a family member this week, and it's made me think that I wish that there was more information about like what to do when someone you love passes away and all the things that you have to do afterwards, and maybe some more support, economic support for people who deal with stuff like that.
Yes, this is a really sad story, but I think it also shows that people are willing to help each other in difficult situations. The internet is not great at a lot of things, but sometimes mm-hmm. there are silver linings of it where stories like this get publicized and reach a large number of people and can help raise money or help raise awareness or whatever it may be for a cause, or simply in this case, just to help this family.
Yeah, I agree. I rag on the internet a lot as someone who works inside of the internet, but it is good to see people utilizing it to help each other. And it's a heartbreaking story, but also a really sweet one.
In the Dallas area, there's been a handful of stories over the years about kids raising money for different causes and things like that, not necessarily in situations that are as sad as the Alabama one, but kids can do a lot more good than I think we give them credit for sometimes. If they get hooked on a cause or motivated to do something or make some sort of change to help others in need. And I think they're really good vehicles for that change or for raising money, because people are so impressed if you see a kid like under 12 years old that is taking on a certain responsibility, that they're almost more likely to give money to the kids' lemonade stand than they would be to a nonprofit for the same cause run by adults.
I agree. When I was in local news, I wrote this story about this kid who loved Legos, and he turned that love of Legos into this whole project where he would collect the toys and send them to kids in need. And people loved it. It was like a big thing in the local area where I was writing. And I think that, you know, kids, they just like, they really love something. It has more of like it feels more pure. They're like, I just really want to give other kids Legos. It doesn't feel like there's ulterior motives attached to it and stuff. And I think you're right. People are much more willing to help a kid out with stuff like that. And it is impressive, because I definitely never did anything like that when I was a kid.
Me neither.
Yeah, I was not that impressive.
This is Jean Marie Laskus with the podcast Cement City. So there's this election coming up, a big one, and one guy's been indicted. People are talking voter fraud. Democracy itself is on the line. Sound familiar? Well, this isn't that election. This one is in Denora, Pennsylvania, a dying town in the middle of nowhere, where I bought a house and stayed for 3 years. Listen to and follow Cement City an Odyssey original podcast in partnership with Cement City Productions, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Our next story comes from Nebraska, where a woman allegedly found a lucrative quirk at a gas station pump, double swiping a rewards card and getting free gas. Unfortunately, prosecutors said, you can't do that. The 45-year-old woman was arrested in March and faces felony theft charges, accusing her of a crime that cost the gas station nearly $28,000. Prosecutors say the woman exploited the system over a period of several months. Police learned of the problem in October when the loss prevention manager at Bosselman Enterprises reported that the company's pump and pantry in Lincoln had been scammed. They say the card was used 510 times and more than 7,400 gallons of gas were pumped for free, according to a probable cause statement. So, Lauren, I don't know. I'm very torn on this one. Part of me feels like the gas station should figure out how to not give away free gas. Why are you arresting the person who just happened upon your error?
I kind of agree. Like, I'm trying to think of what would happen to me in this situation. Like, 510 times is a lot. I feel like if it happened to me one time, I'd be like, sweet. If it happened to me two times, I'd be like, okay. But then, like, I think maybe after like five times, they'd be like, this is a little bit too much. Like, I'm going to get in trouble for this. I don't think it would get like as far as like 500 times. Yeah, I'm happy I read this story though, because like, I guess even if she did it one time, would that still be a problem, or would that be the gas station's problem? Like, when did it become her fault?
I think at some point you can probably prove that she did this knowingly, because it says over a period of several months. And yeah. No one needs gas 500 times in a few months.
Yeah, exactly. But
I think I would keep going to the same pump when I needed gas to see if it was still free. But
yeah, I feel like this is a question that would be on one of those quizzes that tells you which Harry Potter house you're in, which Hogwarts house that you belong to, and that we're both maybe Slytherin. So
who's to say a Hufflepuff wouldn't try to get some free gas?
Are you a Hufflepuff?
I have no idea.
Okay. That's good. That is impressive as a millennial that you haven't taken one of those.
I'll try to get one done before the next off bites if we can discuss okay. The results.
Gas is expensive, and like getting free gas, I feel like a lot of people would feel like, I've been getting scammed on my gas for years, and like this is righteous. I get to get this free gas. Like, I feel a lot of people, just because like paying for gas is such a burden for a lot of people, I feel like a lot of people would not pass up the opportunity for some free gas.
Our last one today is probably my favorite one, and it's about cities trying to lure remote workers to live there. According to a report by CNN, more than 50,000 people applied for programs in several cities and states that have been put in place to entice new residents. According to MakeMyMove.com, those who ended up moving save an average of $20,000 a year through bonuses, cheaper housing, and other amenities. So that's a substantial chunk of change.
Yeah.
However, the places offering the money, Tulsa, Oklahoma, was among the first cities to begin the program offering remote workers and entrepreneurs who moved to the city $10,000. Topeka, Kansas is offering incentives valued up to $15,000. The Shoals, Alabama, $10,000. Rochester, New York, $10,000. And then some states as a whole are also doing this. West Virginia offering a relocation package worth more than $20,000. Indiana, $15,000. And Kentucky, around $5,000. So there's a couple places on this list where I would consider, I think. What about you?
Yeah. Okay. So I have to be honest. Last night when I was looking at this, I seriously considered moving to Rochester for a little bit. I love Chicago. I'm like a proud Chicagoan, but Rochester looks cute. It's on Lake Ontario. There are these little houses. They're only like $250,000 and they're right on the lake. And I'm like, in the Chicago area, that would be a fortune, right on Lake Michigan. But I think I'm going to stay here. I don't know how cold it gets there. I don't know if the houses flood, but I did flirt with it for a while.
The most appealing one on the list to me would be Tulsa, because
really,
it's probably the only place on this list I've even been to. So there's that. But it's also got a pretty cool downtown. You know, it's a decent sized city. The Shoals is
I've never been to Tulsa. What is it like?
Kind of just like a mini, I don't even know what to compare it to.
Is it like, is it similar to Dallas or?
No, it's much smaller than Dallas.
Or like Memphis or Nashville?
Maybe along those lines, just scaled down a little bit more. The downtown, from what I remember, was fairly walkable. A lot of bars, restaurants, hotels. So in that sense, not like Dallas at all, which is not very walkable in most neighborhoods.
So Dallas is more like LA, like kind of spread out?
Yes, very. The Shoals is supposed to be cool. Never been.
I've heard that too.
I did go to West Virginia on a sports trip this year. Probably not taking that relocation package.
I think the only place on this list that I've been to is Indiana. I went there to go to a casino. But yeah, I wasn't super impressed. Apologies again to Indiana. I feel like maybe there's beautiful stuff in Indiana that I don't know about. Actually, there is this town called Carmel, Indiana, that I've heard is wonderful.
I've heard of it.
You've heard of Carmel? Yeah, I heard it's really cute. They have like a lot of roundabouts. It looks like kind of European, and they have a very cute looking downtown. So,
did you stay up all night just looking at places in all of these states?
Well, actually, Carmel, Indiana, I had to do some research for an article about roundabouts in the past, and that's how I came upon Carmel, Indiana. But Rochester kept me up. I want our listeners to let us know what they think about Rochester, because it looks really cute to me. And I don't know, it's a little bit in the back of my head. Should I move to Rochester? Maybe. Let me know.
I don't know. That's way up there. It's like almost to Canada.
It is. I was like, this is closer to Toronto. It's in New York, but it's closer to Toronto than New York City. It's close to Buffalo, which also looks cute. I don't know. Maybe I would like it. I love that out of all of these, I pick the one that's also cold.
Probably colder longer.
Probably even colder than Chicago. Thanks for joining us off Besties. Stay tuned Monday for when we make contact with the International UFO Museum in Roswell, New Mexico. And what's coming up the week after that?
We are going to follow up on the solar eclipse that just happened on Monday and the impact it had on animals.
I'm Jean Marie Laskus. I'm a journalist. I spent my career helping Americans understand the lives of other Americans. Coal miners, gun shop clerks, staffers in the White House mailroom. In my new podcast, Cement City, I tell the story of an entire town. A dying town that you have absolutely no reason to care about. But trust me, you will. Listen to and follow Cement City, an Odyssey original podcast in partnership with Cement City Productions. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.